It's very moving to watch a video of that nature and see people excited about the Word of God, don't you think? I mean, when was the last time we wept over the Word of God? Obviously, there's a difference between their idea of worship and such, and you know, we can scrutinize it and complain about things, but I know I've been moved by, I've seen that at least three times now, that particular video. I find it extremely humbling. I find it extremely convicting when I'm indifferent to the Word of God and I would rather do something else. One of the hallmarks that we want Berean to be about is the Word of God. You know that. We share it over and over again, but I'm afraid that sometimes when we share it over and over again, we find, well, there's Cunin going on again about the Word of God. I really believe in order for us to submit to the Word of God, we somehow have to desire it. We somehow have to love the Word of God in order to say, I will submit to God's Word. Otherwise, we will say, it's another day at the office. It's another day here at Berean. It's another Sunday morning, another Sunday night, another Wednesday night. I want God to stir the embers of our hearts afresh. I want God to do something wonderful in our lives, both as individuals and as a local church. And I wonder what's it going to take sometimes. The Word of God is such that it's a totally unique book, is it not? It's not like any other book. And sometimes we discard it, we don't use it. Sometimes we find ourselves putting it in the corner someplace and not caring to read it, to study it, to even hear it. Not only for a day, but sometimes days or even weeks. What do I need to do that for? My life is too busy. We become indifferent and we become apathetic. We have lost a desire, a love for the Word of God. I see this particular tribe and they're so excited, the whole village comes out. They're so excited that they're crying and weeping that they got a translation over it. So when we ask, what does that have to do with submitting to the Word of God? What does that have to do with why do I have to love the Word of God in order to submit to it? Well, it's dramatically important. So I share that with you this morning that there's a great, great importance. Well, I know that our time is of the essence today. So, I want to give you 10 reasons you should love God's Word and submit to it today. Because that's where we're at today. I think the key is if we don't love the Word of God, we'll not submit to it. One of the struggles we have in modern Christianity is getting people to submit to the Word of God. They will say, yes, it's authentic, yes, it's God's Word, but I still will not submit to it. And part of the problem is we have no bond in our heart to the Word of God. It becomes like another book to us. And so I need to give you 10 reasons. I can give you many other reasons. But for the sake of time, here are 10 reasons why you should love God's word and why you should submit to it. And I pray, these are just the mere utterances and the stumblings of a human being. I trust that the word of God will pierce your heart. I trust that God will take His word and speak to you in a specific way, fresh and new. I want you to be convicted. So often we say, well, I want to leave and feel good. I want you to leave and be convicted. I want you to leave and be challenged. If it means that when you leave today, you don't feel good, and yet you will submit to God's word, then I will say, praise God. It's not my calling in life, and I've told you this many times, to make you feel good. We all want you to feel good, you know. When we love people, we want you to leave and feel good. Isn't that true? When you have a guest in your home, you want them to leave and feel good. But the truth of the matter is, we want you to submit to God's word. We want the word of God to be a flame in your heart. We want you to love it. We want you to have a passion for it. We want you to look at the Word of God like you've never looked at it before. The first reason I want to give you is this. It's the message of life. It's the message of life. Romans 1:16, which is a very familiar passage in Scripture for you. And I have to go quickly in order to get through this morning. I can only spend about 2 or 3 minutes on each one and then go on to the next one. But you know Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the truth. I love the word of God because it gives what? Salvation. Have you not forgotten? Faith comes by hearing, right? Romans 10:17, is it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Do you remember someone shared the Word of God with you? How can you not love God's Word when it has given you life? Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the what? The word of life. It's the word of life. Hebrews 4:12 talks about that the word of God is what? It's quick. It's sharp. It's alive. Do you know of any other book that's alive? It's alive. The Spirit of God takes His Word and works in a completely unique way in people's hearts. It's supernatural. It is miraculous that we're saved. Do you realize it's a work of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God takes His very Word and speaks to your heart. So the Word of God is quick and sharp and more powerful than any two-edged sword. It pierced the hardest of hearts. And some of you probably, just like mine, your hearts were very hard. And yet, the Lord pierced your heart. And the truth of salvation pierced the very being of who you are, the gospel of Jesus Christ that was shared with you. You heard the word and was taken, and somehow the word of God captured your life. Somehow the truth of God, it may have been one verse or the other verse, but it may not have all been the same verse. It may have been John 3:16. It may have been a number of verses. It may have been Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It may have been John 1, 12. We don't know what verse it happened to be. You don't even have any idea what verse it may have been. But we know that it was the gospel of Christ, it was the word of God, it was the power of God unto salvation to every one of you who has believed. Am I not thankful today? Why shouldn't I love the word of God? Why shouldn't I desire it? It gave me life through work of the Holy Spirit. How could it not be tender in my heart? For no other reason, and you go home today and you say, why should I love the Word of God and submit to it? You better remember it's the Word of life. It gave you life. God saw fit. He breathed out His Word, did He not? Second reason, it's truth. John 17, 17 says, thy word is what? It's truth. We live in interesting days when people say, oh, if I only knew what the truth is. I remember a man coming up to me and says, I'm a truth seeker. And you know what happened? I gave him the word of God. He said, I'm a truth seeker. So I gave him the word of God and he said, nah, that's not it. I said, you're not a truth seeker, and then he got upset. You know why the Word of God is true? Because they're God's words, are they not? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, maybe that was your verse of salvation. John 14, 6, right? It's the word of life. It's truth. People today, we live in a world, and we've been talking about this on Sunday nights. If you're with us on Sunday nights, Paul told Ephesian believers to put away lying, to strip it out of your life. One of the common threads of unsaved people is this. People lie. That's why I said I joked with Fred and Michael and Matt, because they enjoy the dispensing the gospel using the Living Waters method of sharing the gospel. And of course, one of the first questions they always ask, have you ever told a lie? Right? Have you ever told a lie? And some people will say, no, I've never lied before. Well, oh, you mean that? Well, I didn't really consider that a lie. People are liars. You have all lied. Every one of you. And we still struggle with sometimes the truth. We live in a world where we have to live in suspicion every day because we don't know if people are telling us the truth. Our lives are to be hallmarked by the truth. We have an absolute in God's word. We have the truth. You have the truth in your hands. Praise God. It is the truth. Why should I love the Word of God? I live in a world of so much untruth that it's great to know that I can turn to the Word of God and I have the truth. Number three, 10 reasons why you should love God's Word and why you should submit to it. This is why you need to submit to the Word of God. It's from God Himself, isn't it? I like this passage in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's a great passage, not used nearly enough, but when I read it, it enthralls my heart because we're told, it says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. I love thankful people. Maybe that's why I was so moved by the Kimyal tribe as well. They were thankful. They were tearful. They were humbled. They were grateful that God would bring them the Word of God. I remember somebody once said something about the American people. They said, I would think they would be better after having had that book so long. He says, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, when ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It's not just receiving a book off of the shelf. It's not just, boy, you know, I run into people sometimes, and boy, do they love Shakespeare. Oh, boy, you know, they can quote to you out of Shakespeare. Oh, you know what it says in Macbeth. Oh, you know what it says in this one and that one and the other one. It's about something that has been dispensed from the very heart of God Himself. I love it because God gave this to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God's breathed out Word, literally. That's what it literally says. If you're a Greek novice taking Greek classes, from the get-go, one of the first things you learn is, since you're learning Koine Greek, the common man's Greek from the New Testament, they tell you, look, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, theopneustos, breathed out by God. It intrigues me that we forget that this came from the very thoughts of God Himself, from the mouth of God for man. And yet, it also intrigues me how indifferent we are. Because it effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's from God Himself. So we love it. We love it. Thank you. It's a gift from God. It's your word. I am moved by Scripture. Number four, it keeps me from sin. You know that passage. How many of you have memorized it along the way? And by the way, if you haven't read through Psalm 119 in a long time, and you're looking to do something for your devotions, read through Psalm 119. Oh, Pastor, I would love to read through Psalm 119, but it has 176 verses. It will take me forever to read it. My guess is if you begin reading it out loud, you will probably read it in about 10 minutes. Guessing. I may be wrong. I haven't timed myself. So if I'm wrong, don't call me up and say, Pastor, it took me 12 minutes. Or I'm a slow reader, it took me 15 or whatever else. I challenge you this way because so many of us will read blogs off the computer. We will read newspapers. We will read books. And we will look at a chapter like Psalm 119 and say it's got 176 verses and it's just too daunting. May the Spirit of God melt our hearts as we read and we meditate on the Word of God. In verse 11 of Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word have I done what? Hidden in mine heart." I've hid God's word in my heart. What is the purpose of hiding God's word in my heart? That I might not sin against thee. We even sing choruses about it, don't we? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Right? Why? How do I hide God's word in my heart? You know the answer, don't you? I'm going to tell you two ways real quickly to hide God's word in your heart. You say, "I thought there was only one way, by memorizing God's word." Well, yes, that is one very excellent way. The second way, and this is a work also of the Holy Spirit, it's repetition. God captures your heart. A verse gets your attention. I have not always spent a lot of time working on scripture memorization. I probably am embarrassed to say that to you. But I'll tell you what has happened in my life over the years. I have become captivated by the Word of God and passages in God's Word. And I think about it and I meditate on God's Word and I contemplate. And I haven't even tried. And all of a sudden I recognize I have memorized that verse without even trying to memorize that verse, because it became such a part of my life. I'm thankful, by the way, for all the Sunday school teachers and all the teachers and mom and everybody else that was in my life when I was a kid, and all the verses that I memorized. And even, you know, when you're a kid, sometimes you can memorize a verse and not try. And you know what happens? Some of those verses last you the rest of your life. The rest of your life. I memorized verses 50-some years ago, folks. Guess what? I still know them, even in my decrepit state. I still know those verses. Because somebody said, memorize it, or because somebody said it was important, or because they read it over and over again to me. And I rejoice in it. And it's probably kept me from sin a long time. Number five, it has benefits. We all like benefits, don't we? We all like benefits. If you want, you could. I'm getting like our song leaders in the evening, and they switch over two pages or one page, and they say, "Rats, I closed my book already." Well, I'll probably be back to Psalm 119, all right? So if you haven't left there, you can hold your finger there. I actually closed my Bible from there too. So it has benefits, and you know, a lot of people have memorized 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But here's the part I want you to catch, and is what? Profitable. It is beneficial. It has benefits. It provides benefits. For what? Doctrine. Oh, I'm going to say something about doctrine. Doctrine is very important. It's teaching. You all have doctrines that you hold to. Some good doctrines and some bad doctrines. You have doctrines you hold to. It's profitable. God's word is for doctrine. When you submit and you love God's word so much, doctrine becomes part of your life. Take a hold of good doctrine and submit to it. For reproof, I don't like to be reproved. I'm easily offended. I don't like it when people straighten me out. I don't like it when you do it, Cunin. Maybe I don't even like it when the Word of God does it. It's okay to be reproved if the intention is good. For correction, there we go again. For instruction in righteousness. that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We want, hey, look how profitable and beneficial this can be. God's word can allow good works to come out of your life if you love it and you submit to it. By the way, one benefit not mentioned in there is it brings joy in my life. You see, we have to love it. Love usually corresponds with joy and happiness, doesn't it? I've discovered that to be true. If we're to like or love something, we have to have joy from it. It has to make us happy. I have to tell you that the Word of God has probably, because it has directed me to Jesus Christ, somebody showed me in God's Word about Jesus Christ. It has directed to me the path of life. It has directed to me the truths of God's Word. I can say, I believe quite accurately today that it is possible that the Word of God has brought me more joy than anything else in this life. Psalm 119, 162, if you don't want to look, look at your bulletin. I think that's the verse of the week in the bulletin. Sorry I didn't tell you quicker if I made you turn back there. The psalmist said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. One of the things I really enjoyed doing, and this is the reason I like archaeology, is I like to find even sometimes little treasures under the earth. If it's really, really old, I think it's really cool. And it kind of just says, oh boy. You know, it makes you say, oh boy. Spoil. Joy. He says this, I rejoice at thy word. By the way, notice a few things here. Look at 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I submitted to the word of God, that is. And what does he say? And I do what? I love them exceedingly. How about 140? Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant does what? He loves it. Ooh, I like it. Right? How about 129? Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul submit to them, keep them. You ever, I don't know if you mark your Bibles. Do you mark your Bibles? It's kind of fun, you know. You say, well, I don't want to ruin my Bible. You're not going to ruin your Bible, but be careful how you mark them. You know, be careful how you mark them. I like to have a little wider margins in my Bible so I can mark them. Sometimes, unfortunately, between my bad vision and not marking my Bibles very astutely, sometimes you'll say, why is he stumbling on a word there? I have two things going against me. I say, what in the world is that word there? I can't figure it out. So if you ever wonder why, there's two reasons, all right? I've overmarked it and it's poor vision. Verse 97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I keep going on. Let's read one more. Verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Wow. Well, number 7. It shapes my worldview. When Paul was helping me put the PowerPoint together last night. I was kind of laughing about this a little bit. I said, can you imagine I'm using worldview here on this particular passage? But in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what? The world day by day tries to shape your thinking, doesn't it? Every day, even you that send your kids to Christian school, homeschool your kids or whatever else, the world will continue to try to shape your lives and your kids' lives. You cannot hide from it completely. That is why you need to immerse your life in the Word of God, because it will shape how you see the world. Everybody has a worldview. Everyone has some kind of view of how they see things in life. But I need the Word of God to show me how I should see the world. Otherwise, I see the world askew. I don't see it clearly. I don't see it correctly. And that is what happens to all of us when we begin to get our ideas apart from the Word of God. And what happens is this: I love the Word of God for keeping me on the straight and narrow, helping me to guide me and direct me in the path that I should go for the sake of my Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have a guide instead of floundering like a fish. Well, I got to hurry here on the last three. It causes spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. You may remember it anyways. There are like three passages, at least in the New Testament, that talks about spiritual growth. Peter uses 1 Peter 2:2. You know, the one as newborn babes desire the sincere, pure milk of the word that ye may grow by it. You see, the word of God, if it's not part and parcel of your lifestyle, if you're not under the hearing of the word of God, where you make it a point to listen to the Word of God regularly, if you don't make it a point to somehow study, to challenge yourself, to somehow get into the Word of God, it will be very, very difficult for you to grow. One of the real tragedies of modern Christianity today is Christianity light. Very weak teaching from most pulpits today, and I know that doesn't sound very humble on my part. The hallmark of my ministry is not because I'm a good preacher. I want to give you the Word of God. That is the hallmark of the ministry of Berean. That is what I try to teach you. If I died after this message today, it's okay. Because you heard again that you need to submit to the Word of God. That is the hallmark of this ministry. You need to know that it's for your benefit. It's for God's glory. And you may not like it. That is the point. And that's why people will flock out en masse to so many churches, because they don't get much for what they're hearing. Not only that, but people today are hearing trash by the barrelful. We've got a mass media out there that pulls us from so many directions. Oh, you mean the newspaper? You mean the radio? That's not even hardly what anybody uses anymore. Television, the internet, so many other sources. And people are bombarded by it, and it affects our thinking. How may I grow? You grow through the Word of God, and you better take it seriously or you will not ever grow. And you will say, why am I struggling in my spiritual life? Why do I live a defeated spiritual life? Why do I struggle day by day? Why can't I get my emotions in order? Why can't my life be smoother? Why does everything bother me? It's because, in essence, we have come to a place in our life that we are not really very serious about growing spiritually. And so we become deflated and defeated Christians day by day. You see, the Word of God is a treasure. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. There's always little tunes to a lot of these things. Funny part is people used to sing psalms even before they sang hymns. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen, right? The testimony of the Lord is sure, it's true, making wise the simple, even people like me. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Maybe I just should have preached that of Psalm 19, 7 through 10. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. Lamp to my feet. A light to my path. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than what? Than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Finally, it's out of love for God. It's just very simply some things. Very simply, because I love God. Because I love God, I love His Word. How do I get closer to God? How do I do that? Can I give God a spiritual hug? Can I say, oh Lord, I want to draw close to You. I don't know how to do it. How can I draw near to You in my times of need? Oh Lord, oh Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, very simply, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not, they're not overwhelming, they're not grievous, they're not burdensome. So we submit, we love You, Lord, and so I want to submit to Your Word, I want to love Your Word, I want to love You. Oh, folks, here are 10 reasons for you to love and desire God's Word and to love God. May God give us a compulsion to do this. Thank You, Heavenly Father. Move us. May the Spirit take it and move in our hearts. Don't allow it to just go through one ear and out the other, Lord. Don't allow us to leave this place forgetting the man or person we are. Oh, Lord, forgive me, forgive our church for taking Your Word lightly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you need to submit to the Word of God today. We'll have Pete with the final hymn.